Welcome back to Gasbagging. I'm Dan Morrison, and RIP to Kate Campbell this week, although we said we wanted consistency for this season of the podcast. She has dropped at episode 4, but I promise she'll be back next week. She's a busy girl. She's very Sarah Jessica Parker. I don't know how she does it at the moment, so she can't be with us. But I have an amazing guest all the way from Melbourne. He is the host of the Cringe Is Real podcast, who does a lot of talking about the same shit I do, so I couldn't not have him on, an expert in the genre. Sam McCrae. Oh, I was actually, no, I asked you before we started, and then now I'm just like, Sam Cremaine.
That's it.
There we go. Yes, there we go.
Hello, welcome. It's me. Thank you so much for having me, Dan. What a treat.
Absolutely. Pleasure. Do you love a last minute call up?
I love it. I was like, hey, what are you doing? And I was like, he either wants money or I don't know. I'm like, what is this?
And now you're just dancing on Kate's grave. So, yeah.
And here I am.
But lovely. I appreciate you being here. As I mentioned, Sam has his own podcast, The Cringe Is Real, and you've been speaking to friends and Mini Cooper and all types about...
Yeah, well, friends and Mini Cooper. Yeah.
I don't know how close you are. Just assuming. I'm assuming she just walked into your house and you just started talking, so...
She did, yeah. And I said, excuse me. And then I said, I guess I have to start a podcast now. Yeah, no, yeah. I have just started a pod, recapping Real Housewives of Sydney, might do some other terrible/amazing Australian reality shows. We'll see how I go. It's a lot of work, isn't it?
It is a lot of work. It is. It's God, it can be a tired gal sometimes, but look, love the girl, so I'm just gonna keep
we
at
do.
It. So before we talk about Sydney this week, I just want to talk about the Vanity Fair reality reckoning that Bethany was priming us for. Sam, did you enjoy the article?
Oh my God. Look, I can't say I read it all. It was quite lengthy. And I feel like to a lot of us Housewives fans, none of this is really that shocking or new goss. But yeah, Bethany's really pushing this whole idea of like, you know, begrudged stars creating a union, which I say, you know, go for it.
But also, I just didn't think the like three horsemen of the apocalypse for Bravo were going to be like Ebony K. Williams, Lee McSweeney, and like Bethany. And I was just like, no, this can't be it.
Yeah, there's a healthy dose of saltiness in there, isn't it? There. Plus, I think I think the best part of the article is the photography. It's kind of similar to, I don't know, like a Sydney Morning Herald article about like, you know, them ripping down an old building and there's like someone standing in front of the building looking really like tragic. It's giving that energy.
And Bethany holding a coffee as well.
Coffee. Do you know who they should have interviewed? Because half of it is about alleged like alcoholism or like forcing people to drink. They should have got Janet Roach on to talk about what happened in Mexico.
Exactly. She physically injured from the show itself. Yeah. She tripped over that long dress of hers, smacked her head into the side table, then tripped again.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
Yeah. But look, Ramona being absolute racist piece of shit, that's not news to me.
Same as what you said, like anyone who's kind of plugged into Housewives, everything that was in that article you've heard about, like you knew that Ramona's a racist piece of shit. You know, Sonia Morgan is, you know, borderline alcoholic, like, and there's been all this stuff. And then, you know, Leah was obviously struggling during her season.
I hope to God the rumors about Leah coming back aren't true. It's after that performance on Girls Trip, we don't need it.
No, and I think after reading that article, what mental state she's in and what she thinks or every version of the show's done to her, including Girls Trip, she doesn't need to be near a camera again. And I wish her well. I wish Married to the Mob all the success in the world. And I think that can be the lane that she
Bethany, it's like fucking hell. She actually needs to go to sleep. It's like she's just claiming on to relevance. Have you listened to her pod? Like I find it like physically like violating to my soul.
I don't think I've finished. got halfway through the Jules Aaron of it all, because I just wanted to hear Jill, you know, tattle on about that. And then I got through the first part one of her Rachel Levis interview.
With Rachel.
Yeah, there was just too much spit in Rachel's mouth that I just kind of, that turned me off and I couldn't get to part two. So, but there was nothing groundbreaking in that either.
No, clearly you're only interested in this woman because you know that you're going to make a fuckload of money off having her on your show. Like,
exactly.
But then she's very happy to point fingers at Bravo for pretty much doing the same thing. So sit down, Bethany.
Insane. And also just that's a whole thing. That article as well was just so Real Housewives of New York focused and just talking about all this shit that went on. And the thing is that drives me crazy, because even after it, like, the stories came out again and then all these other outlets started reporting on, oh, like, Ramona Singer said this about the cast at the time. Like, yep, we went through this. They got rid of them all. They did a whole new show and we just watched it. Like, I'm just like, that part of
old
it was
news.
Yeah, that was like, I know obviously they've thrown all those women, you know, back to same parts and that's coming soon.
True.
Like,
which we will all absolutely gobble up and enjoy, but yes.
And I think obviously Ramona, they'll just stick to a villain edit for her now. If she's, you know, texting people at Page Six, basically saying the N-word the day after this article's come out. So good luck to her having any career after this, because I feel like that's weirdly the last nail in the coffin.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, what else does she have to do? I mean, she seems to.
I feel like this has to be it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's see.
And just finally on the article, I think my favorite part of it was Ebony towards the end when they were talking about if Ebony was going to join Bethany's cause, and she just said, fuck Bethany Frankel. I'm not letting that white woman speak for me. And I was like,
I was like, Ebony, where was that when you were on the show? Like, I would have loved, I would have welcomed her back to see that, but obviously she's not interested.
Deserved. So good luck to Bethany if she's got anywhere to go from here, but I feel like that was a bit of a flop in the end. Only thing it took down was Ramona once again, so R.I.P. to her. Let's talk Real Housewives of Sydney if you want to.
Yes.
What did you think of the latest episode? Enjoy.
I thought this was the best one yet. I think it's strength to strength each week. I was so apprehensive at the start of this season, particularly after what a flop the reboot of Melbourne Housewives was. I was kind of going in with the same anxiety around that. I was like, oh no, all these new women, I don't know if this is going to work. But it's just great. It's been really good, really great dynamics. Chrissy is just absolutely carrying the season, and her and Kate just obviously don't vibe with each other, and I'm really enjoying watching that play out.
Yeah, and I just, the thing I do have to say with Chrissy though, I did notice her absence from like the first chunk of this episode. Like, when she's not there, she is not there, and I'm just, and that made me realize how
she was
important
there.
She is.
She's omnipresent on this show. The whole time she wasn't physically there, they were all talking about her anyway. So I feel like she knew
about
what
like
she
how
was
do
doing.
We get Chrissy here? Yeah.
Yes. Them trying to convince her on the phone. Oh.
Did you see at the start that woman that almost got run over by the van that Terry and Kate were in when they were leaving Bondi? That she was trying to like trot across the road and just
this
almost
is
got
one
hit.
One of the sweeping shots of the vans crossing a lot of bridges and a lot of water.
Well, Jesus Christ, Sam, if you like knew the roads in Sydney, the way they were like cutting to shots of outside apparently they were in the car. I was having whiplash from thinking I was in all different parts of the city. Like, whoever was editing that show had no idea what part of
it's
the city
like
they
I
were or where they were going.
I have no idea where I am. Always that's what Sydney. That was the front of Victoria's house though, because I recognized the sort of terracotta pink color of the front door. Yeah. I was like, that is actually Victoria's house.
And I love that Terry doesn't have a license as well. Doesn't trust herself to drive.
So, Queen. So, as someone also that doesn't have a license, I was like,
Sam, no,
snapping
why?
That part. I was like, yes.
Have you always been like a city dweller that you've just never needed a car to get around?
It's chic not to have a license. And I'm with Terry. I don't think handing them out like they do. There's a lot of morons on the road.
Question: the laxatives that these women need to go on a trip, are they? And I, because I was like, if Kate was here today, I was going to ask a female woman, do you need to shit yourself all the time? Because they were really talking like having laxatives on this trip was an absolute must have. And is this just a secret?
I had an actual woman on my podcast that I recorded earlier this evening. And her take was that it could be like a post C-section thing. Can ruin your insides. I think it's a disorder.
Yeah, that screams to me as soon as I've eaten, I just want to get rid of it all immediately, which that screamed to me, eating disorder. But also then I was like, it can't be because they're just talking about it so casually on camera that maybe it isn't and I'm missing something.
Well, I think Victoria was talking about it casually. The rest of them were a bit like, laxatives? Like, really?
God. Well, look, they seem to need it. I will ask. Please. I'll ask Kate next week and see if she has any more insight on that. But I'd love to get to the bottom
Sally did say she took a fiber supplement, which I can only think is like a psyllium husk or a Metamucil. And us gays know all about that. So I feel like, you know, there are some, there's a crossover in the Venn diagram.
I loved when they were on the way to the trip and Nicole was going on about why Chris is not coming with like no idea that Kate was in the car with Victoria and Terry, and she was just...
The old speakerphone trick.
Very good.
My favourite.
Very, very good. Can I ask Kate's outfit to the...
and like collars.
Yeah. The white collar, the sheer. Yeah. And then we had, I think it was a Valentino belt or something and a swimsuit underneath.
You look, for someone that's trying to, you know, combat lesbians, she's not really doing a very good job, is she?
No, it's, she...
I'll just say that.
it's a large collar, I'll say that. I was just, I love a bold look for a dinner party inside a home, that's all. Like when you're not going anywhere else except there. So I like the theatrics at least.
I can't get over everything Victoria's because she looks like a cashed up toddler that's just wearing a tutu and pink and frilly little things every time.
Yeah, it's scary. Those skirts are really something, aren't they? They're just like the little frill things. It's very like early Barbie, isn't it? Yes. Just with like, it's just legs that go like straight into a skirt. But good for her, as she said. She wants to show it off. Also, Victoria thinking that the Tasmanian devil is extinct, which I think she was thinking Tasmanian tiger, poor thing.
She's like, they're back. They brought them back. I'm like, no. They didn't go anywhere, honey.
I love this narrative about the onion comment that, first of all, which I just love more than anything because it should be a compliment at the end of the day, but it's just not in Chrissy's eyes. But Nicole thinks it's the funniest thing because she thinks it's the least offensive thing as well. And just before, like, Chrissy gets there, her and Caroline go outside to talk about it. And you can tell she's even trying to hold in when she's speaking to Caroline that – she's going, oh, well, she was offended about the onion comment. And then Nicole's like holding in herself, trying not to piss laughing at the whole thing. Because I think she knows how ridiculous this whole setup is. Like the show itself is that this stuff they're talking about. She's like, I can't fucking hold it together during this conversation.
It's so good. Just the sheer longevity that they get out of these like mixed metaphors. I just love it. Like you've got your onion, you've got your moaning Lisa. Switzerland comes into it this week as well. Debbie Downer. Oh, it's just Chrissy's they just keep coming, the hits. And I think we're going to get a lot of longevity out of all of these because she's effectively just calling someone a bunch of names. But they're so clunky that it's like cute.
Oh, Chrissy is cute. Also, sorry, her entrance, they were trying to over-dramatize her coming in. Like she was coming the whole time.
That entrance look, perfect. Loved it.
And then her coming straight into Kate and going, oh, I have plenty of gay friends. It's not an issue.
Like, it's just the most tone-deaf way to start any conversation when you've been accused of doing something a bit probo. It's just like, I've got plenty of ex friends. It's just like, no.
Also, as well, they're talking about the other thing that they're not, no one's acknowledging, because, like, even Kate saying, oh, like, it wouldn't offend her anyway if it was a friend, but like they're acting like lesbian is like an insult in this world. Like she, and then Chrissy's acting like, oh no, I wouldn't call anyone a lesbian. Like, well, no, like it's not.
Kate's not helping because she's kind of dancing around it a bit. Like I know she's like kind of come out on social media or whatever, but in the show, in the world of the show at this point, she hasn't really like addressed it. And like, she doesn't have to, of course not. But like, I think it would just absolutely shut Chrissy up if she was like, yes, I actually do date women. I think Chrissy would feel really stupid. So I'm kind of waiting for that.
Yeah, the closest thing she says later on is like, you're not my type, to Chrissy. And I feel like that's her only like hint at like what she said on social media a bit, but she hasn't really just come out, because she could just shut it down in seconds. Like, she's just like milking it for a bit longer. You're not my type thing
just reminds me of something that like an angsty gay version of me would say when I was like 16. Do you know what I mean? When you're at like a party with straight people and someone's hitting on you, like, yeah, not my type. Like, it's very like, yeah, it's giving like an all gay at the pub.
I love that. I love to think of 16-year-old Sam screaming, oh, you're not my type of people.
You don't want to know.
A vision. Nicole, when she took Chrissy into their suite, as she says, and sits her down on the bed there, and they start again. This is like, I kind of love Nicole and Chrissy that they have this like bond beforehand, because they are, you can tell they are good friends, and they think this whole thing is like fucking stupid. I also think them thinking season one compared to this, they're just like, we're going on about like literally the dumbest things. Like, we're talking about literally an
this
onion.
It's like a holiday.
I know. Like, this is the onion comments, the worst thing someone said about someone. And that's what they're pissed off about after they were dealing well with like Lisa Oldfields and Athena's last time. Like, this is the stuff that's like taking up space.
Do you think Lisa Oldfield and Athena X and Victoria Reese are watching this season just being like, this is fucking boring?
I don't think Athena knows how to turn on a TV. I think I 100% think Lisa is watching every second. And
just, but in another life, she's watched it and, you know.
Yeah, I think Lisa's probably got like a burner Twitter account where she's just like firing off like every thought from like a faceless account or something. Like, I feel like that's kind of the vibe she's probably doing at the moment.
Absolutely, she does. Yeah. And I think she's like stalking them all. I'd be worried for my safety. She's probably just,
she's
following Victoria home.
Yeah, she's going to throw a stunt cat over her, over the walls of her lovely terracotta home.
Yes.
Can't wait for that.
That house is so extra. Like, a lot of them have the most extra houses, but that one, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah. I love those old homes in Sydney are just like very interesting. Like, the architecture changes from like every three houses next to each other. Like, it's just like completely different worlds, you know. Obviously built by these eccentric people back in the day. So that's that kind of like pocket where you have that much money to like build whatever the fuck you want. Like, okay, great. Good on you.
Just the shot they get of it from the water, you're like, okay, this is a on the water property.
Yeah. She's money. And I love when Nicole and Chrissy are just like laughing in the room, and then Nicole's like, do I look bad? And then Chris's like, yeah, really bad. Yeah. They head back out.
Yeah, this is funny because Chrissy's like, she's just kind of apologized, kind of, with the like the peace offering of the champagne, and they've kind of swept it under the rug, and then they just immediately push Nicole and Chrissy in a room, and she's like, oh, well, I was ambushed. Like, she just immediately starts going off.
It wasn't really ambushed at all. Like, she came in just like trying to explain herself, like, immediately, rather than just doing the whole like sorry bit and just pretending like she gave a shit coming in with that champagne in the first place and trying to like, you know, make amends. Like, she didn't give two shits about that. She was just like, I'm going to go and make a scene, and then I'm going to complain about it to Nicole like immediately.
Exactly. She's got two modes. It's like, she goes full Jane Eliano, like, I didn't say that. I've never said that. And then she goes full, well, you are moaning, Lisa. Let's be honest. Yeah. I shoot from the hip and you're a fucking boring onion lesbian. So it's like, she just oscillates between the two just flawlessly. It's so funny.
Victim or doubling down. It's like two energies. That's
pick one. And then we get the waterworks later on.
Oh, God. That was... No. I was just like, I did not expect the tears from her later on. And I don't even know how we really got there. Like, maybe we're touching on something that's actually, you know, maybe the core of who she is. That's why she's overacting, because she doesn't want to get, like, them getting too close. Maybe that's why she's asking everyone else the questions, because she doesn't want anyone asking too many on her or, like, prying into, like, who Chrissy is. So maybe that's where the tears were coming from. But I like that little touch of... And then obviously Kate just fucking hates it, because she was just like, oh, yeah, these waterworks, fuck this. Oh, like, she she hates these women in her confessionals more than she's telling them in person. Like, she kind of just sits there like stone face and then absolutely like tears them apart when she's like, you know, alone.
Well, I learned this week, thanks to Joel Creasy, that Kate is actually like a Housewives fan. So now that I know that, I'm kind of watching it with a different lens where I'm like, oh yeah, she's actually having a lot of fun with it. Like, and I think that's why she's not shutting Chrissy down straight away with like, well, I am actually, you know, pansexual or whatever. She's just like, she's like having fun with it. And I'm like, oh, good on you.
Like, she's sitting there like baiting them or something.
Totally. Like- and her confessionals and things. Like, I think she's like, yeah. Like she said on Joel Creasy's podcast, she's been dreaming of being a housewife forever. She's been like when she watched Beverly Hills, she was like, I'm going to do that one day. I was like, ah,
right.
There it is.
Well, look, she's got her dream. And if the before photo that I saw is a true one of hers, then I think what she's transformed into now is exactly where she wanted to get. So I think she's really, she's hit the nail on the head.
I think the pipe dream for her, the business plan should be like an Australia Zoo style, like she could become like the new Irwin family, basically. Like, like just open a park.
There should be like a glam like, Irwin.
You know, Chris has got a cookbook. Yeah. You know, they all need their thing that they're spruiking. But if Kate was smart, she would just invest now in some kind of reptile enclosure. I'd go.
Well, she can take over this place that they're visiting in the next episode.
Ozark?
Yeah, Ozark. Yes, the Netflix show, Ozark. With that though, can we talk about Victoria and her clothes? Oh, her fashion label.
Please, it's all I talk about all day.
Oh, this! I love that she packed the python boots that she was gonna wear. Fascinating.
Yeah, and then she didn't wear them, and instead she wore a fur collar. I'm like, girl, it's a reptile enclosure. She should have worn the python boots. I say.
I found her like justifying it quite fascinating. Like, this was the first like proper
me too
Real Housewives kind of mindset I've seen, where it was essentially she was saying, if you're gonna any of you are gonna come for me, you have to be like totally clean. That's the way she was putting it, as in like you have to be an absolute angel for you to like come to me. And then any of them,
your farts need to smell like fucking Aesop.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, girl,
but that was like, and then as soon as she started pulling it apart with any of them, it was like, oh, like, do you wear leather? And they're like, oh, yeah. And then no one had any like leg to stand on whatsoever. And then even Nicole was like pointing out the hypocrisy of it all. She was like, we're about to eat a meal of like meat and fish, like just like kind of thing.
Nicole put it best because she kind of brings up the idea of being just consumer, like where you do what you can. And I think that's
conscious consumer,
you
know,
you really can do. But I love that Victoria's just like, no, I work in this industry. If you're going to try and tell me about it, like, you better like know what you're talking about. I thought that was kind of like a fair point. But people love, this is one of those topics people love getting really like, especially these housewives, like think about the Lisa Vanderpump of it all. Like, you know, saving the puppy, like the, they eat dogs in China. I'm like, Lisa, you eat meat. Like, shut up. How is eating dog any different from eating a cow just because they're cute? Like, it's one of those like pop political issues that people love, like having a really strong stance on it, like regardless of how they actually live their lives. So
and the housewives just want to technically be on the right side of like what they think the right side of history is for the camera when they're like filming, being like, oh yeah, I need to make sure I'm standing up for this. But it killed me when Victoria was talking about, she goes, everything I do with Sportlux is done with quality and the environment in mind. I'm like, okay, well, we don't need to push it to
that's why it's all from Turkey
in mind. Yes.
I just keep
like cattle.
I keep remembering, was it last week when they were in the costume shop and Caroline was like, oh, all the feathers, they're all ethically sourced. They just scrape them off the sides of the freeway. Like, that to me, like, amazing.
Especially after that pony flew off the back of the truck. Like, this obsession with the freeway is just a bit, it's
like
too
RSPCA
much.
Are gonna be in touch, I think, with the producers of this show.
Yeah. Well, they like, even Victoria was joking, she cut her dog's tongue out. It doesn't speak.
Oh, my God. Tatiana, the chihuahua.
Yes.
I did look at my chihuahua when I saw that bit. And I was like, yes. And I was like, Don't fucking tempt me because I will do it.
Don't speak. What's your chihuahua's name again?
Her name is Frida.
After Frida Kahlo or just?
Yeah. Well, yes. Even though every now and then someone goes, oh, Frida from ABBA. And I'm like, sure.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever anyone implies, just go with it.
Tatiana is a great name for a chihuahua, though. Tati.
Yeah, that is so Victoria as well. Also, I love just Nicole just shutting it down at the end, going, everyone here, put a piece of salmon in your mouth, and then they were done. I'm kind of like, I think Nicole's enjoying herself. Like, even though she doesn't really add much at the end of the day, she's kind of just like screaming these lines from the side, just kind of going, oh, yeah, I'm just here for fun.
I think she's adding a lot. I think she's there as... She's like, thinks she's this kind of mother hen, like voice of reason. She's got this almost Nigella quality about her when she's, you know, she's always baking something and she's always like, oh, 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 oh. Like, I'm into it.
Yeah. It's one of those things, I think, where like you didn't get much out of her first season except her, you know, Captain Eyebrows and her screaming, you know, 8.5 back in Athena, but outside of that and walking her kids down the plane. Like that was kind of like, you know, the summary of her. And then you don't really hear like a peep for the rest of it. But I think this is one of those things when you just stick with a housewife for another season, you get like another little bit of them or they get more comfortable in front of the camera and then they're like ready to actually like, you know, talk. So that's why she's, you know, treating it like a joke now. Like she's been done this rodeo once before. And now she's like, oh yeah, I'm just going to like actually just sit there and enjoy myself in the scene.
Totally.
And just like,
I'm intrigued by her motivations to come back because, it did seem from season one like she kind of thought she was better than everyone else in a way. Or not better, but like, I mean, it was a shit show. So I think she just kind of rose above. So
she has vitamin patches, Sam. That's why she's back. I think it's coming. I don't know what episode, but at the launch event, they were handing out vitamin patches. So I'm pretty sure that's literally... Wow, girl, Nicole's back.
That's already more exciting than whatever the fuck Sally's doing. Yeah. So,
I love a Housewives product. Yeah. They can sell me anything. So, as I have my Chrissy Marsh cookbook now in my home, it arrived.
Did you get your hands on a copy of Switch the Bitch yet?
No, as I said, I've seen it on Amazon for like $200-something, which is probably worth that to be honest. But it's like that's the only one I can find.
Is it signed?
No, I don't know. It's just like, that's the only one I can find that exists. I was actually just going to DM Pettiflor and be like, do you have a storage cage or like a warehouse that I could just like go to and grab one? Like, I'll give her like a 50, you know what I mean? Just to get one.
She's a frugal woman, I've heard on the main streets of Melbourne. So she will do anything for a buck.
Okay. Well, I'll give her at least 50 just for a copy of Switch the Bitch. I've got a book club now, so I need, you know, good reading material. So... I feel like Switch the Bitch is the next one. So.
Imagine you just no context, just bringing that into the book club. I would die.
At least two of them in the book club knows what it is, so it'd only shock a few people. So, it's iconic literature. So, then the thing also that this is what I love about Chrissy, the whole fur and everything conversation was just everyone was involved and then Chrissy somehow turned that. And I actually don't even think it was a good segue, but she turned it back to how this is kind of like how Kate and her have gotten into everything. And I was just like, wait, how did we get back?
She's like tortured and skinned alive, just like Kate's torturing me and skinning me alive by accusing me of calling her a lesbian onion.
And then we find out, well, at least the ladies in the room find out that like, Chrissy's never said the word lesbian. It was just insinuated by her saying, I've never heard the phrase like tongue pash so much in my life. And I've actually never really heard it before. Like I've heard separately tongue and pash, but I've never heard tongue pash as like an action word before.
Yeah, tongue pash. It's a good one.
Yeah, and it will be sticking with me for a long time.
She's really showing her Brisbane roots, Chrissy, when she starts saying things like tongue pash.
It's written all over her. But this... I'm happy this conversation happened because I think I've finally seen Terry Viviano switch on, which was who I thought like
she switched the bit.
Yes, but I saw like a hint of her that I thought was the Terry we're going to get this entire time, which I was like, that's what I want to see. I was in there when Chrissy was like, oh, it's much easier to be neutral. Like you like easier to be Switzerland. And then, as Terry rightly says, I think it's much easier to be a bitch, a negative, which true.
And then we get the iconic line where she goes,
yes.
Oh, you want to see the bitch? Well, keep poking then. It's like, And it's like, finally. And it's like, ooh. I think there's something in the way that Chrissy uses insults or like these names. Like she thinks they're like funny names. But I think there's something in the way, the repetition of it that gets on people's nerves. Because you could just see Terry be like, if you fucking call me Switzerland one more time, I'm actually going to throw a glass of wine at you. Like, that's how annoying it is.
That's the thing, but Chrissy does that. Like, we saw it last time. She does this thing where she comes in, like, full blazing. The problem is she had the other two people on the other side of her when she was going at them happen to be Lisa Oldfield and Athena, who weren't going to accept, like, when Chrissy was going on about the Greek stuff at the first party. She was like, oh, the Greek mate. And she kept like doing that to Athena. And then she was just like, Athena was coming at her going, I've had enough of you all night long, Chrissy. Like just, she just, and then obviously, you know, Chewbacca comment coming. Like it was just like all of like those women just had enough of her immediately where these women have been putting up with like, you know, Chrissy coming at them for, you know, a few days or a few weeks now. And like you're seeing like the small cracks, but I think last time she just couldn't get away with it for as long.
And look, Terry's new to this game as well. So she was kind of trying to like help Chrissy out by being like, hey, like no more. Like we've covered the Kate drama for tonight. Like let's put it to bed. But Chrissy's like, nah, mate, I'm just getting started. Like the cameras are rolling. I've had seven glasses of Chardonnay and like it's round two. So I think that's why Terry got pretty pissed off, because she's like actively trying to get Chrissy to shut up.
And then also like Chrissy was sitting there saying that she wasn't a shit stirrer, and then like Terry was laughing at her when she said I'm not a shit stirrer. She's like, like as in, are you kidding? Like that's been Chrissy's MO this entire time. This is why she's asked back. Like she is a shit stirrer. Like,
doesn't have the same ring to it.
Her
as,
whole MO,
you know, Switzerland or moaning Lisa. You gotta market your insults a bit better, Terry.
Well, then Terry did throw Chrissy under the bus and was like, "Oh, well, how about the moaning Lisa comment?" And I love how they're throwing these out like they're the most offensive terms, and it's just like, well, no, it's really like it's lightweight at the end of the day, but we're gonna pretend to be offended.
There's something very Australian about it. Like I feel like we love. Like, A, like kind of getting these metaphors a bit wrong, but then also just like in like, because you can always backtrack and be like, oh, I meant it in like an endearing way. It's like this way we kind of poke fun of each other, but it's like cute, but it's also like deeply offensive.
Yeah, we're doing something really offensive with like a little like cheeky grin at the end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still meant to cut. So Chrissy going, oh, there's not a mean bone in my body. Like, and then Nicole just backing her up just from the side of the table. She's going, oh, we'll vouch for that.
Yeah, that was, okay. Yeah, like character reference. I'm like, okay.
Die for each other. Thelma and Louise off the cliff. They're just the besties. And when we got to Chrissy's crying, finally, when Sally was like, are you going to cry? I just went like straight to like Adrian Maloof when Kim was crying. And she was like, somebody's crying.
It's like, wow, what works? Somebody call the ambulance. Yeah, Chrissy put on a great performance.
But great dinner. I was happy with that dinner at the end. That gave me like little hints of like what I want to be saying.
The fat controller was a great chef. I really enjoyed
lovely food.
You know, a little bit of liquid nitrogen. Yeah, it did look good. Lux. Kate keeps telling them, oh, it's going to be Lux. It's going to be really Lux.
Then just very quickly on the next day, I love how everyone was in a full face in the morning, like as soon as like Nicole coming into Victoria's room, she pretending she just woke up and she's got the full cat eye.
She had like a lyrebird feather in her hair already that she'd gone out and foraged that morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'd electrocuted a lyrebird.
Yeah. Yes. And then they did Kate dirty. They did a shot of Kate brushing her teeth and she was going in. Like it was just really... It's really intense. And then next week we'll obviously get the Reptile Park drama with Victoria wearing her fox fur.
Yeah, it was a real bummer like how the episode ended. I was like getting so excited that they were going to get to the park. And then I was like, oh my God, it's over already. It was, it was jam-packed this ep.
But look, I feel like I want to see just more of this now. I just want to see the girls like snapping at each other, which it seems like they are going to, but I want to see just more dinner scenes like this where the women are just at each other's
throats. Totally. And I want the biv pushed and pushed because I want to see the next level.
I want to see that bitch she was talking about I want them to keep poking because her tone, I was just like, oh, yes, this is, you've got a makings of a legend in you.
I'm really, really vibing her now after this episode.
Who are your favorites at the moment? After this episode at the end, who's your top girls?
Look, when I say faves, I mean like who I'm getting the most entertainment value from. And I think obviously it's Chrissy, Kate, Victoria, I just think she's giving like the unhinged housewife that I need, of just like she doesn't give a fuck and she just does what she wants. So I'm really enjoying that. Obviously, I'm just not really enjoying Sally very much. But, you know, she's like getting in there a little bit. Honestly, it's a good cast. It's like well-balanced. You know, you need your light and shade. But, yeah, those are the standouts. What about you?
Pretty much the same. I like, even though I'm not a Victoria fan, but I'm enjoying what she's doing on the show. Like just that kind of her doubling down on everything that's going on. I'm like, great. Like that's the kind of delusion I need to see from those housewives. And then like obviously Chrissy always. And then Kate, I just need her to say more in the moment what she's saying in her confessionals. That's all. I just want a little bit more of that bite that she's got in the confessionals because I think that would add a bit more to a scene. And Caroline's good, but she's kind of was not as much this episode.
The one I want to have a ciggy with is Chrissy and like a glass of shardy. Like Chrissy's the one I want to hang out with the most. I think Caroline's putting on a bit of a front at the moment, and I think maybe that's just nerves in front of the camera. She seems the most conscious of the camera to me. So I'm hoping that over time the walls come down. Yeah.
Well, I want walls to crumble, come down. I want everyone at each other's throats. I want chaos.
Yes. And I want a cast trip to Burning Man next year.
And during floods, that'd also be great. I'd love to see the women traversing that. Yes. That'd be phenomenal television. All right. Well, we'll take a break and come back with what we're watching. And we're back with what we're watching. Now, Sam, basically, just spoke at Kate last week about Big Brother UK and she has no idea what I'm talking about. But you're actually watching, you know.
Well, most people don't.
Because it's hard to watch like 100 episodes a week, but we're somehow like keeping up with what's coming out.
It's a commitment, but I feel like it's paying off.
It is. I feel like I'm in there with them half the time. Like I feel like I'm getting a bit of like Stockholm syndrome with some people that I hated at the beginning that I'm kind of like, oh yeah, you're fine now. And I'm just kind of like coming around to a few personalities that like, I hate Paul, but then I was kind of like, I don't like him, but I don't hate him as much as I did at the beginning. So I feel like I'm starting to, something's happening in my head where it's gone wrong.
He's not as bad as the archetype that he's portraying, I think, is what I've come to realize. And I think there was also some sort of misinformation online about him being transphobic on the internet. Okay. And then that's been disproven now. So I think because I read that, I was like assuming that he was like this douchey straight guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then now he's still a douchey straight guy, but he's not as bad as you think.
Where do you think the our gay love triangle is going? What do you think is going to end up with our dear Jordan, Maddie, Henry?
It's so good to watch. I mean, look, I really struggle with his politics really bother me. And then he's also not really very likable. Him this week talking about food, I was like, oh my God, you think you're like so cosmopolitan and like have this great thing. And the stuff he was talking about, I was like, that's so basic. Like, I don't know, I think he's rubbish. So, and I really like Jordan. So I want Jordan to be happy, but I don't think Henry's the one. And I don't think Maddie's the one either.
I don't think either of them are the one, but I'm just like, for some reason, I want Maddie and Jordan to just
hook up
one night.
I think
just for a lot.
I think Maddie's, obviously, you know, Maddie's trying to educate the public about like open relationships and stuff. So I think he's like conscious that if he does hook up with someone in the house, it's like will be under criticism, which I understand. But also, I don't know if he actually likes Jordan or not. I can't get a read.
I can't figure that out either. That's why I'm just like, I actually just need maybe one of them to like lean in and the other one to say no for it to just stop. And then I'd be like, okay, it's done. Because I feel like we just have these like teasers all the time and I can't tell. And then anytime they're a little bit tipsy, it gets like just overly flirty. I'm just like, no, I feel like you two like each other, but I'm just like going crazy trying to figure out.
I think Jordan's made it very clear that he's into it. I know. And then poor Henry's kind of just the backup, isn't he?
Yeah, I think I keep seeing there's this really old TikTok going around where I think Henry was on Musical.ly or something, that app where people did like the lip sync like a song. Oh, that keeps coming up in my feed, and it just every time I say it, I'm like, oh, I don't like this man. Like, I just, and I know it's from years and years ago, but I'm just like, oh, this is really painful to see. So, anyway, and Yin Run for the win. So.
I'm just obsessed with Yin Run. I just think she's heaven. I just want to give her hugs and cuddles. Her and Jordan, I just like, I need them to be protected.
And who do you want to go next? Obviously, I think Kerry, by the time we release this, everyone will know Kerry has been given the boot. But
yeah, I think maybe I'm ahead of you. So
yeah, well, no. Yeah. I saw like Twitter today.
Oh, you saw?
Like,
oh,
good. She's gone.
Yeah, yes, she's gone. Yeah. Which is, it was an unceremonious exit because it was like part of a twist. So I'm annoyed that she didn't get booed.
Yeah, but do you think they were trying to protect her from like, that's why they did this weird thing? Because they were like,
honestly,
so many people hate her that if we brought her out in front of a crowd, people would like scream and stuff. Because she already seemed so
true. The PR department could have been like,
this would not be good for her mental health because she's like sitting there in the house every week going, oh, they're screaming out my name. And she's like worried about it. So like maybe they just had to protect her by like getting her out by like a weird challenge.
She was hugely unlikable, but it was great telly.
Yeah.
And I this is what I love about the casting of this show is it's like on Australian television, if we were to put someone on with a disability, the whole storyline would be poor them, they have a disability, they're two-dimensional. That's just how we do things here.
Yeah.
So to have a character to complexity like that, like, yes, she lives with disability, but she's a fuckhead. Like, that to me is everything. That's the future.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunately, the two biggest assholes in the house have been the two people with just like the most visible disabilities on the show. Like her and Dylan have gotten like the worst rap on the show. And you're just like, oh, okay. Like that's how the UK are telling the story. So yeah, very different from how anything would be done here, but that's kind of the beauty of that show. Like everyone's got the same amount of airtime to make a dick of themselves and they've just chosen to make dicks of themselves. So
true.
Great show.
No, it's such a good cast. And like, I think it's why I think normally by now, because what are we at? Week three, week four? Oh, I can't keep up.
Yeah.
They would normally have put intruders in, right? But they haven't because they don't need to. There's so much going on already. And look, I'm sure they will at some point because they always do, but they haven't done it yet.
Now, how long does this go for? Because there's so many of them and I'm like, I'm happy watching, but I'm just so scared of how like there's just so many left to get rid of. So are they going to keep doing these like midweek like evictions or something? But like, or do they have so many of them at the end before they choose like who the winner is?
Yeah, the
like
final's usually pretty stacked.
Okay, great. That's, yeah. Because I'm loving it. It is a commitment, but it's, yeah, I just need to know there might be some finish line towards at least by December.
It will end. And then hopefully they do another celebrity edition because that is the tits.
Oh, God, I would love that. The celebrity ones were the best. I wish they just need to put like the Gemma Collins and like New York one on streaming somewhere just so I can rewatch
it's
that.
Heaven. Possibly the best reality television ever made, that series. Basically, yeah, I would let Gemma know.
David's dead. Now, last week, Kate and I hadn't seen Beverly Hills yet. So I would like to get your read on the new season of Beverly Hills, where are you at?
Oh my God. Girls? So I'm like, I'm full Kyle conspiracy theorist. Like, I think that Kyle and Mauricio like watched what happened with like Scandoval and they were like, oh fuck, we'll just do that. And I think Kyle is,
I'm here with you.
I think Kyle is also heavily queer baiting the audience. I don't think she's lesbian. I don't think she's in a lesbian relationship. I think she's just enjoying us talking about it. So to know that that's the big thing of this season, I'm already a little bit like, but Beverly Hills has been kind of slowly letting me down for a while now. But of course, I'm still here for it. I'll still be there every week.
Oh, I'll be watching every frame. But yeah, I'm just, I am worried because I did feel like when after the girls left that, you know, Eagle Woman and was it Blue Raven? After they left that kind of session and we saw all their solo scenes, I was just like, oh shit, nothing's happening. Like, as in there's literally nothing going on in any of the girls' lives. I'm like, this whole season cannot just be us going, oh, we're getting up to the point where Kyle and Mauricio separate and maybe Kyle's a lesbian, but like, is that all we've got? Like, is any, like,
yeah,
great, Sutton's buying a horse and like, you know, Garcelle's maybe a bad mother or something and Dorit's still got PTSD, but like, there's, what else is happening?
Well, they stretch it out, don't they? So it's Bravo. It'll probably be like 20 plus episodes or something because dollar signs. Yeah. But I mean, the scene with Garcelle getting sort of like semi-gaslit by her 15-year-old son, that kind of broke my heart a bit, I'm not going to lie. Mm. And I don't particularly care for Garcelle too much, but still that really, like, that hit me, that scene. I was like, this is horrible.
I think teenagers are also just dicks as well, though. So I feel like that's half of that.
But like, teenagers of today, like the language they're using, I was like, fuck, man. It's a lot.
Don't have kids. Don't have kids. Erica trying to learn empathy as well was like chilling. Amazing.
So fun. Watching her brain just like try and process the concept was fascinating.
And asking, how do you learn that? Yeah, like she's like, how do you learn that? And I'm like, what do you mean?
She's like, so you think about the other person instead of yourself. Oh, and then she's like, you're a real like good person or whatever to the lady. She's like, no, I'm asking you to do this.
Wild. I know Eric is a terrible person, but I'm kind of here for this like weird villain error or whatever she's doing this season.
Oh, totally. Great from her.
And I hope
it's the hormones.
And I hope Dorit continues to hate her as well.
That's fire or professional. Well, we need someone to step in. Now that Rinna's gone, love her or hate her, she carried that show for so long. So now she's gone. Like, yeah, these other girls are going to have to step up and start having opinions because they were all not doing so.
Yeah, for all Rinna's wrong, she kept the girls on her toes. So someone else just needs to kind of do that. Like, I know Sutton loves poking a bit, but she doesn't ever go, I don't think, full tilt into the women.
Sutton is a wet lettuce. Like, honestly, like I love her on the show. Like, she's so fun to watch, but like, no,
she's not the girl. Crystal Minkoff was not present for filming, apparently, on that.
What was it, 12 seconds or something? That meme that was like, all 12 seconds of Crystal. And she just goes, yeah.
Insane. But hopefully she does something. I just want to kind of fast forward to the dinner where we have Denise, Camille, and Kim there. Like, that's what I'm here for. I'll watch the whole season just to get to that.
You know it's going to be the last episode.
And I'll be chomping at the bit for it. So, Sam, you're watching House of Villains as well.
Enjoying? Mainly for the HBIC, and she is delivering. But it's, oh God, it's such a rubbish show. Like, it's the cast they've got.
I don't get what the format is.
There is no format.
Cast is great.
They're building the plane on the runway. Like, they have no idea what's going on. And they're even leaning into that. Like, they make fun of the host, like, not knowing what's going on. Yep. It's one of those kind of reality shows.
For anyone listening who has no idea what House of Villains are, they've just got a bunch of random villains from random reality shows. So, like, Omarosa, New York, Tiffany Pollard, whatever. Oh, no, I was going to say Tiffany Pollard. No. and, like, Jax Taylor,
it's
Johnny Bananas.
It's some top-tier casting. Plus, the guests are the best.
Great.
Like, they've got Abby Lee Miller. They've had Carol Baskin pop in via Zoom, which was so funny.
The most insane thing that I think's happened was Danielle Starr of New Jersey fame, that was on the last episode, that just refused to leave the house. So they had her in for a challenge, and then she, after it was done, just kept wandering around the house for the rest of the night. And they all went to sleep, and then she just like lingered in the home.
She was going to just join the cast, but they didn't explain it. It was so strange.
I think she just wanted camera time and she wasn't going to give it up. And they were just like, okay, we're done for the day. And then she was just like, oh God, I've got like no one to film with. So she just literally had to get in the car and leave.
It was amazing. I'm looking forward to the Spencer Pratt cameo. That is, I think of all of the villains of all reality shows, like, he's got to be the worst one.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Spence is your...
Okay. Deeply hateable person.
I am mesmerized by his bird videos. Have you seen them? The
No. I know he's into crystals.
You haven't?
I haven't seen his bird videos.
Yeah, no. The bird videos are insane. So he basically just like stares like the camera dead in the eye and just has like bird feed around his like hands.
Oh,
and then
God.
It's just like slow-mo video with all these birds coming at him like eating the feed, and he's just like stares directly into the camera with like this really weird like track behind it, and he's done it many times. Yeah, it's quite fascinating to look at. Yes, that's, it'll put you to sleep. It's like a lovely little like before bed thing just to kind of like send
you off.
I do
not want to fall asleep to Spencer Pratt. That's some nightmares.
Yeah, it could be nightmares for you. Yeah. Sam, anything else you're watching that you want to
What I'm watching that is so good at the moment is the latest season of Taskmaster. It's season 16. And yes. Australia's own Sam Campbell is on it. And he is just so funny. And I've been watching the show since the start. And no one has been able to, like, break the Taskmaster like Sam does. It's very, very entertaining to watch. I can highly recommend that.
Sam Campbell's hilarious, so I can imagine he's phenomenal.
So funny. I'm very excited about Real Housewives of Miami starting again tomorrow, I believe.
Oh, yes. That'll be tomorrow. Well, when this is released, it'll be out.
Okay.
Lisa's found a story that isn't, you know, her divorce, but I think it's a high ask for her. Yeah.
I'm totally happy with that.
And Salt Lake, quickly, are you enjoying? What are you watching?
Yes, I'm enjoying it so much. I was so upset that they took a week off for fucking Winterhouse. I was like, absolutely not. It's great. It's so, so good.
I'm off Monica now, I have to say. I think she's trying too hard. And
you were on Monica?
I was on her for like the first episode, I think. And then ever since then, everything's gone downhill, and her mother scare the shit out of me. It's like the darkest relationship I've seen on TV since like early seasons, Richard Sisters. Like, it's too chilling. And I just like don't need to see that on my TV. So Monica can be a little one and done for me.
Did you know that Angie Kay is Greek? How crazy.
Oh, I did not know that. It's not like it's mentioned in every frame of the show when she's in a scene. So... But look, and her funny little husband can stay on. I actually don't mind their nonsense. So it's welcome.
No, they're great. It's all good.
Now, Sam, thank you again for doing this. Where can people follow you?
Pleasure. You can follow me at Sam Cremian or at The Cringe Israel Pod on Instagram.
If you want to hear two gays talk recaps of... Brew Housewives of Sydney in your ears each week.
You obviously do because you're here. Yeah, you've made it this far.
Yeah. So go on over. If you want to follow me, I'm at Dan Tom Morrison on Twitter or at Gasbagging on Instagram and TikTok. Sam, thank you again for doing this. And very quickly before we finish, are you getting renewed or cancelled this week?
Cancelled. I'm absolutely cancelled this week. I need a week off. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think I went into Monday and Tuesday, and at the end of Tuesday, I said, I'm done this week. This is a cancelable week. So I'll hopefully come back renewed and refreshed next week. But this one's a write-off. So
I look forward to it.
Here we are. All right. Thank you again, and farewell.
Bye-bye.